As I understand it, the fighting in the South started for two reasons. One, these people had been abandoned by their Northern leaders, told to wait for elections and given no other support than frequent pronouncements that the elections would come. And secondly, in reaction to the failures of the Diem regime. And as bad as the terror may be in the North, at least it has some kind of popular support. At least it's capable of instituting a viable economy. And none of these things can be said about the terror of the South. It was completely irrational. And it was this irrational terror that provided the basis for the resistance starting up in 1958-59. At any rate, we had a continuation of a war that was much older. Now, I would like to read one statement which seems now to be unbelievable. Joseph Alsop is one of the most outspoken defenders of the administration. But back in 1955, Joseph Alsop was the only American newsman to travel to the territories of South Vietnam that had been occupied by the Viet Cong. They had been occupied by the Viet Cong for 5 years. They'd already done many of these radical things that we are afraid they're going to do. They already instituted their land reform. They'd already regimented the population. And Joseph Alsop, writing in the New Yorker, June 25th, 1955, wrote, "I would like to be able to report, I had hoped to be able to report, that I saw all the signs of misery and oppression that have made my visits to East Germany like nightmare journeys to 1984, but it was not so. At first it was difficult for me, as it is for any Westerner, to conceive of a communist government genuinely serving the people. I could hardly imagine a communist government that was also a popular government and almost a democratic government. But this is just the sort of government the Pom Hut state actually was while the struggle with the French continued. The Viet Minh could not possibly have carried on the resistance for 1 year, let alone 9 years, without the people's strong, united support." That's Joseph Alsop, 1955. You'll find a very similar statement to that in Eisenhower's book, Mandate for Change. You'll also find Eisenhower's military theory that you have to have popular support before you can fight a guerrilla warfare. Now, I say this not because I think the system that existed in South Vietnam was a good system, one I would urge upon the people, but only that they thought so, that they did not share the fear of Ho Chi Minh that our State Department has. And they were not alienated from these people. They rather recognized them as the leaders of their nationalist movement. And the nightmare that we have entered into in Vietnam is to try to write their history for them in a different way. And we have done so because we are responding to two very similar forces to those that motivated the Russians in Eastern Europe. And they are fear and the missionary spirit. The Soviets moved into Eastern Europe because they were frightened of Western capitalism encircling them. They had all sorts of facts and theories about how the capitalists were going to do them in. And secondly, they had a missionary zeal that told them that communism was the wave of the future, and there's really nothing that a communist government can do anywhere in the world that isn't, in a sense, progressive in the interest of the working class. Now, the United States, it seems to me, is motivated by two similar sources. We're afraid of this communist devil that is encircling us and about to do us in. Mind you, we are afraid of this communist devil at the same time as we see the communists fighting among themselves, capable of great change. And secondly, we do seem to possess a missionary feeling that we have the right to impose our system on any peoples, anywhere, at any time, regardless of how they feel about it. That there is nothing the United States can do anywhere in the world, at any time, which is not democratic, in the interest of peace, in the interest of our own security. And when you start to argue this way, it seems to me you get into a very dangerous position. That we actually went into the Dominican Republic to enhance people's freedom. That we are in South Vietnam now, in a war that Max Clothe, the correspondent for Figaro, the French conservative newspaper, called The Machine Against the Partisan. That we are now bombing the whole South Vietnamese countryside in an attempt to eliminate these guerrillas. Systematic bombing of the countryside to enhance their freedom. That's a very dangerous position to be in. And as far as its effect on American prestige and power, which I think was an underlying theme of his speech, can anybody seriously argue that Russian prestige and power or communist prestige and power was enhanced by their crushing the revolution in Hungary? I ask you to think about this, not whether you support the Hungarian Revolution or not, not whether it was anti-Semitic or not, not whether it was supported by the CIA or not, Because one salient factor of the Hungarian Revolution was that, be it a bad or a good revolution, most people were for it, whether we liked it or not, whether the Russians liked it or not. Did their crushing that revolution make communism a more appealing ideal? Did they, by crushing that revolution, enhance the struggle for socialism and communism in the world? I doubt it. I think they stained communism, perhaps permanently. And I think that the United States, in attempting to write the history of Asia and Latin America, in attempting to tell them that they know what is good for them, to have a professor here in the calm and safety of Berkeley telling a Vietnamese peasant that has been propagandized and attacked for 30 years by different political systems that he doesn't know what he wants, but that a professor in Berkeley knows what he wants, and goddammit, he's gonna bomb him if he has to give it to him, seems to be insane.